I declare the meeting open at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting? The agenda comprises four reports from management and one item of general business. No apologies have been received. Could I take this opportunity to welcome our new councillors, Nicholas Francis-Gilley and Susan Riley, to council. Councillors Francis-Gilley and Riley were declared elected by Justice Greg Gard, President of the VCAT, on Tuesday the 14th of March 2017, following a recount conducted by the Victorian Electoral Commission on the 1st of March 2017. Councillor Francis-Gilley took the affirmation of office and Councillor Riley took the oath of office before the Acting Chief Executive Officer this morning in my office. In accordance with the provisions of the Local Government Act 1989, I ask that this be noted in the minutes of the meeting. On behalf of myself, the Deputy Lord Mayor, my fellow councillors, the Chief Executive Officer and the administration of the City of Melbourne, we congratulate you both on becoming councillors and we certainly wish you a successful and very rewarding term in office. Could I also take this opportunity to thank former councillor Michael Kafer, who was a serving councillor since being sworn into office in early November last year. Through no fault of his own, Michael was declared unelected on the 14th of March 2017 by the President of the VCAT. I want to thank Michael for his contribution to council over the last 5 months and wish him well for his future. Could I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 7 held on Tuesday the 7th of March? Councillor Yu, seconded Councillor Oak. I'll put that matter. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting? In that case, as at 3 p.m. today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda Item 6.2, the ministerial referral of 42 to 44 Murray Street and 11 to 13 Hancock Street in South Bank, a request to speak from Brodie Blades. In relation to Agenda Item 6.3, ministerial referral 57 to 63 Exhibition Street, requests to speak from Kristen Whittle and Jamie Govanlock. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, ministerial referral of 839 to 865 Collins Street and Collins Landing, requests to speak from Michael Barlow and John Denton. In relation to Agenda Item 7.1, post-travel report by Councillor Cathy Oak, a request to speak from Chris Thrum and an item of correspondence from Chris. Could I advise submitters that you're invited to address the committee at the time the agenda item is considered? You have 3 minutes to address the committee. We stick to that 3 minute time limit. There is a counter on the wall behind me. Beep sound at the completion of 2 minutes, signalling there is 1 minute remaining for you to conclude your address. That final beep sounds to signal the time allocated to you has finished. In accordance with the County Council's Meeting Procedures Code, we provide a 15-minute period at the beginning and the end of each meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be greater than 90 seconds in duration, and this is not the time to make submissions. Submitters will be invited to address the committee at the relevant agenda item. Anyone like to ask us a question? In that case, could I call on Councillor Rees to assume the role of chair in relation to the planning portfolio?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There are four reports from management for consideration under the planning portfolio. The first of them is Agenda Item 6.1, Planning Permit Application TP 2017-4, North Melbourne Recreation Reserve, which is located 204 to 206 Arden Street, North Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
want a presentation, but I just had a quick question for officers, because I note that it says that you didn't need to do consultation because of the type of permit it is, but then you note, I just would like to know how this was communicated, that this piece of work was going on, and because it says no objections were received. Does that mean because no one knew about it, or because no one actually had an objection?
Evan Council, would you like to respond to that? Officer Evan Council.
Thank you, Councillor. The application itself only triggers a permit under the land subject to inundation overlay, and as it's an application by the council for council land, it's required to come to this forum, and in other circumstances there'd usually be a requirement for public notification. In this instance, because it's only a trigger under the land subject to inundation overlay, there's an exemption from public notice, but the wider plan for the improvements of the parks has gone through a consultation process through the recreation services team, separate to this process.
And while you're on your feet, Officer Council, I'm also interested to know how it came to pass that Council decided that a multi-purpose court was the most desirable sports facility to create or to build on this site.
I'm actually not privy to that application, to that process, as it was undertaken separately to this process, but I can assure you that it did go through an extensive community consultation process, which involved the community to determine that that was the most, the best and most appropriate use in that location.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, well, look, I'm happy to move the motion, and I call on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Oak. My understanding is that in regards to this being a multi-purpose court, that was as a result of a consultation process, which was led by the council, and which the Deputy Lord Mayor has just reminded me was led by the Recreation Division. So, yeah, it's good to know that, and that this is something that the community in that area is very keen on. Councillor Oak.
Thank you. I obviously was interested in, you know, a document that comes before you that says, you know, it wasn't required to be consulted. However, it is important to note that this is a subject matter that has been ongoing for a long time. And yeah, the recreation consultation around this space, sorry, the consultation about this space has been ongoing ever since the redevelopment down at North Melbourne with the football club facilities, but also the City of Melbourne facilities. And this particular patch of greenery has been long sought after for some other recreational use, and I believe that this is what the community came up with.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Are there any speakers against the motion? Are there any other speakers for the motion? Okay, well, in that case, I'll now put the motion to a vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. The vote is unanimous. I declare the motion carried. The next item is agenda item 6.2, ministerial referral TPMR 2016-22, relates to the property at 42 to 44 Moray Street and 11 to 13 Hancock Street, South Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Seeing nods of no. Okay, well, I will now call on Brodie Blades, who requests the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you, Lord Mayor and Council. My name is Brodie Blades of the town planning and urban design firm David Locke Associates Australia, and I appear before you tonight on behalf of the applicant for this permit, Capital 8 Proprietary Limited. I'm cognizant of the 3 minute time slot, so my presentation doesn't intend to give you the information you already have in your officer's report, but rather just provide a very brief snapshot about the process to date and some of the key attributes of this project. In terms of the background, the subject site is at the gateway to City of Melbourne and Port Phillip on Moray Street. It's in a abutte to the Westgate Freeway. And you can see from this image here that the broader South Bank area is under significant change by way of tower development. A number of these towers haven't perhaps set the benchmark that the planning scheme aspires to in terms of things like ground floor interactions and open design outcomes. And if you proceed to the next slide, we can see some of the on-the-ground realities of South Bank and recent developments in this area. My client is seeking to set a new benchmark in accordance with the aspirations for South Bank accordingly. And if we skip to the next slide, the tower form you see today is what's currently proposed and what we're seeking planning approval for. The tower is 51 storeys high, or 175 metres. It has been designed to achieve compliance with the provisions of the planning scheme and the new central city built form controls. But most importantly, if we skip to the next slide, we can see that rather than continue this trend of very poor public realm outcomes at the ground floor, we're trying to set a new benchmark for the South Bank region and give something back to the public realm. In terms of the snapshot of the proposal, which is on the next slide, a couple of key points. It is a 51-storey proposal. One of the key defining aspects of this is that we are responding to the new aspirations for built form in the planning scheme. We're not relying on any transition provisions per se to justify an alternative outcome. We're proposing 3,000 square metres of genuine commercial floor space for local employment opportunities, which is something that has been lacking in this particular portion of South Bank. We're also proposing a true diversity of dwellings. 287 apartments are proposed, of which approximately 90 are one-bedroom, or approximately one-third, the balance being obviously two- and three-bedroom product. And despite not technically applying in a planning sense, all have been designed to achieve compliance with the new state government's better apartment guidelines. In terms of the sustainability, we are a 5-star Green Star rated proposal and we are achieving compliance with the stormwater management provisions of the planning scheme. We've also been designed to facilitate a new benchmark for public realm despite the fact this is a land subject to inundation area and there are particular requirements for things like flood mitigation. Finally, the architecture of the proposal, I think, speaks for itself. One of the key aspects is that we are proposing a curvilinear form as opposed to another rectangular form. And provides some diversity in the architectural forms in South Bank. I commend it to you accordingly.
Thank you very much, Brody. I will move the motion and I call for a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Leppart. In speaking in favour of the motion, I would note some of the positive aspects about this particular development. The fact that the 6 levels of office space provided, which is an important thing for the city at this time, the fact that there's inclusion of retail in the foyer, so you'll activate the building at ground level. I note that there, as a result of some discussions with the City of Melbourne, there's also been some alterations to the design of apartments to create living space and help make them livable apartments and livable building. Call on seconder to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Chair. I agree, very happy to support this. Not quite sure I agree that it's a brand new benchmark for public realm, but certainly balancing the flood constraints with the needs to provide some high quality interaction with the public realm and the building interface. Certainly this building does that. And so happy to support it. Obviously, this came in before the new central city built form controls were gazetted, and the building complies absolutely with those previous controls.
Thank you, Councillor Leppart. Are there any speakers against the motion? Okay. Are there any other speakers for the motion? Councillor Riley? Good to have your contribution, Councillor Riley. Are there any other people who wish to speak? Any other? Councillor Oak.
Just quickly, I support the recommendation and note. Obviously, you referred to the public realm at street level, but one of the key conditions is changing the design so that the trees can actually grow underneath that the canopy that's shown. The building canopy, not the tree canopy, but the building canopy shown in those images. So obviously there is still a little bit of work with respect to the conditions around the existing trees, but also the urban landscape management plan that needs to be submitted as well. But otherwise, obviously, I support the recommendation for the proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. Are there any other speakers for the motion? No? Okay, well, in that case, I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. Okay, the next item is agenda item 6.3, ministerial referral, TPM 2014-43, covering 57 to 63 Exhibition Street, Melbourne. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? Okay, well then, I know we have some speakers, so I now call on Kristen Whittle from Bates Smart, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Okay, next slide. We have a project here at 63 Exhibition Street on the corner of Exhibition Street and Collins Street. It's a prominent corner, obviously, in Melbourne. The site offers up a unique opportunity to resolve this corner of Melbourne and to cement in a very strong relationship between these two key streets in the city, as well as resolve some of the odd circumstances, delivery areas, laneway areas to the back of the site towards 101. The proposal puts forward a residential and hotel building that sits off Strawn Lane to the north. The Strawn Lane relates to the project as a porte-cochere. What we've done is to open up a line of entry and access through to Chester Lane, so there's a complementary and complete sort of set of laneways that are conjoined. The front of house facilities come off Exhibition Street with a residential and hotel entry point there with some retail opportunities. At the back of the site, there is a car lift and loading bay dealt with on the left-hand side of the laneway. Next slide. So the view here from Flinders Lane denotes a very strong view, strong vista, with the skin of the building being very strong and active in celebrating this new laneway. Apertures opened up through the middle there that links up to Strawn Lane to deliver something that's very porous and active, an intervention that we think will bring a lot of life to this area of Melbourne. So the next slide. This is the view from Strawn Lane, also looking down towards Flinders Street through the aperture there, showcasing the entrance to the hotel with the restaurant and bars on the upper levels there that show how people will enter into the site and access through to the other side. The facade is made out of some very unique componentry. We've strongly proposed a handcrafted solution to the building with polished ceramic tiles embellishing the overall footprint of the podium. Next slide. The relationships to the adjoining podium buildings, the apertures, etc., are very much about bringing in a strong sense of streetscape to the proposal. Cross-section there shows the car parking to the lower section and a stack of bars, restaurants, conference and hotel amenities forming the podium before going up to the hotel rooms and the residential buildings above. So that's your typical core. We've conjoined the core in the middle there and surrounded it with the amenities for the hotel. Next slide. The residential footprint would be around about 600 square metres with some very high quality, naturally cross-ventilated, very well-lit residential footprint, making this a truly high-quality residential development. The height of the building is akin to 101 and Collins Place on the adjoining sites, and offers up a very slender ratio. And the side facades basically are developed as an encrusted sort of crystalline skin that goes around all four sides, and I think you'll see that on the final slide.
Thank you very much for that. I now call on Jamie Govanlock from Urbis to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Jamie Govanlock from Urbis. I'm here on behalf of Salta. Thank you for the opportunity to present tonight. We support the recommendation of the council officers tonight, with the exception of condition 1D, which is the reduction of the building height by 20 metres. Effectively, the application was lodged 14th of August 2014. So this has been an application that's pre-amendment 262 amendment C270. The reduction in building height that's been recommended by the council officers relates to the current planning scheme requirements in relation to the overshadowing of Birrarung Ma in the winter period. This proposal enjoys transitional provisions in terms of there were no such requirements for limiting shadow at that period of time when this application was first assessed, and the transitional provisions clearly articulate that. So we're worried that we're sort of being judged and sort of assessed against something that effectively we shouldn't be in terms of having those transitional provisions. At the time when this application was lodged, the only provision in the planning scheme, which was the policy, sunlight to public open space policy, clause 2202, related to, there was an opportunity that you couldn't shadow the Birrarung Ma precinct during the September equinox. The proposal doesn't do that, so the proposal satisfies that condition. It also further goes on to say that the proposal shouldn't shadow the north bank of the Yarra River, north bank being defined as actually where the water touches the edge, not the new definition that we have now of the 15 metres back. The proposal didn't do that either. So at the time of the lodgement of the application, the consideration of the application, numerous meetings with DILWIP and the officers from MCC over the past sort of 2.5 years, and also a stint through the OVGA, we feel that the application should be considered on those transitional provisions, which effectively means turning your mind off from Amendment 262 and Amendment C270, having regard to those planning provisions that were in the scheme at the time, which this proposal clearly complies with. In terms of, just getting into a little bit of detail because I've got a little bit of time, in terms of the policy at the time, sunlight to public spaces, clause 2202, there are a number of objectives there that relate to not overshadowing public spaces, creating pedestrian amenity and so forth. All of those objectives are deemed to be satisfied if you meet the general requirements which I've outlined previously of not shadowing Birrarung Ma in the September equinox between 11 and 2, which this proposal doesn't do, or basically shadowing the Yarra River, which this proposal doesn't do during the winter assessment period. So the two tests at the time, which we should be being considered against, we easily satisfy. We have some concerns that the bar's being raised unreasonably against us. Thank you.
Are there any questions to our presenter, Deputy Lord Mayor?
Thanks, Jamie. Can I just confirm, I think you're pretty clear on this one, but
yes.
Can you confirm that your applicant is not willing to knock the 21 metres off?
They're not willing to knock the 21 metres off, or 20 metres off, yes.
Thank you.
Councillor Leppard?
Question to our officers, please. My understanding is that pre C262, the clause sunlight to public places 2202 discouraged, not mandatory, but discouraged overshadowing in the September test between 11 and 2. And so there is still a consideration here. Can you please explain the extent to which this is a problem and just clarify the situation for us? Thank you.
Dual Act. Councillor, the controls at that time were relating to overshadowing at the equinox, so the September shadows, and the C270 controls are now talking about the winter shadows. The policy at that time, though, I mean, the implications are broader in terms of the impact on the amenity of that public space, and it's also consistent with the position taken by Council and the Minister in relation to an application at 32 Flinders Street that is currently in the Tribunal. And officers have actually, late this afternoon, recommended a suggested change to the wording of 1D to bring the shadow into line with what the Minister has approved at 32 Flinders Street. So our open space in the central city is precious, and we really think that it should be protected, and it goes beyond just complying with a numerical test in a former policy. The world has shifted in terms of the shadow impact.
And to clarify, is the 32 Flinders Street VCAT precedent, although it's not a precedent necessarily, I understand how VCAT works, is that an application that predated C262 as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I don't understand the comment you made then, Jane, about the world has moved on. If they lodged this application under a certain set of rules, the world might have moved on, but why are we retrospectively applying rules?
We have also...
Or second-guessing the minister?
For applications at that... For applications pre-C262, which 32 Flinders Street was, the minister has actually required the consideration of the winter shadows as well.
But that's a matter for the minister.
That's a position that we've taken. Yeah.
Why are we applying...
We supported that position.
Sorry?
We supported that position. Council supported the position that
this is a different application.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the shadow over the same park, that being Birrarung Mar. So we're just trying to be consistent with the previous approach that we've taken.
Was the original council decision to not support 32 Flinders Street?
Correct, yes.
On what grounds?
On the extent of shadow over Birrarung Mar.
I don't recall that being brought to our attention. That was a retrospective application of C262 or C270.
Yeah, no, my understanding is that one came to the Future Melbourne Committee.
Any other questions from councillors to our two presenters? Councillor.
off the height issue, but onto some of the conditions and some of the commentary in the report, and I'm interested in our initial engineer's response to the waste management plans, and then obviously they've got conditions that are in line with what we're allowed to put in with respect to the planning scheme. But I guess I was interested in a response from you or whoever is designing the building, you know, what changes have you considered to bring it in line with better practice with co-mingling, recycling and removing the need for three trucks to pick up the waste within the current design of the building?
I might get the architect to answer this question given the technical nature of it. Come up here, Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen.
The strategy complies to current standards with regard to splitting the waste into those two different types of compartments. We have a carousel that sits underneath the building that would operate a sophisticated and, you know, sizable waste management system. And as I've said, that distributes into the back of house loading facilities that are off Chester Lane. So, yes, it's a fully established and properly planned a solution that's indicated on our drawing, so we don't see an issue with it.
And I also think it's been referred to Council's waste engineer, and there's been comments received back from that, and they will be incorporated into the design. I think there's a permit condition around that issue
as
well.
That's what I was asking about. Yeah. So if you think it's okay, but it's actually a condition within the permit, so I'm just interested.
I don't think I can answer properly because I'm not absolutely across the detail. So.
Can I ask our officers? I was of the view that when we were briefed on this, we were assured that the developers would accept that reduction in height.
Well, I was of the understanding that they were accepting of that height reduction that we were suggesting.
Not what we've heard tonight.
No, I know, I appreciate that.
Very hard to make a decision if we don't have an accurate communication of the view of the developers. Thank you.
Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, Jane, it's for you again. Just picking up on my earlier question about the pre-C262 status of Clause 2202, for Birrarung Mar, as for most open spaces in the municipality, it's the case, is it not, that there should not be further overshadowing between 11 and 2. My first question is that true? Is that correct? And my second question is, why are the overshadowing documents in the report for June and not for September in that case?
That is correct, Councillor Leppert. The overshadowing at the Equinox is compliant, which is why the diagrams aren't included in the report. We were showing the implications at the winter time. Thank you.
All right, any further questions for our presenters? No, okay, thank you very much. Lord Mayor?
I mean, I feel that given that I've been briefed one way by our officers and I now have a different view from the proponents, is it possible to consider that we defer this until we get an accurate and consistent view from both to make up our mind?
Well, God, I always think that council should make the decisions based on full information, and provided that there's no other consequences that I can't think of, happy to have deferred.
Would you, as proponents, be happy to defer this for up to two weeks until we sort this out?
We would be happy to continue discussions and defer this.
Okay. Thank you.
Just seek advice of officers here. Do I need to put a motion deferring this, or does it? Okay. Okay. Well, I move a motion that this matter be deferred for a period of no greater than 2 weeks, so that further information can be provided to officers, and we can, you know, update the motion before council if required. So the motion is up on the screen there. I'm happy to move it. Do I have a seconder? Okay, Councillor Leppard. Okay, anybody want to speak in favour of that motion?
Let me speak. Just to say, look, councillors may make up their minds on substance grounds about shadowing and overshadowing or whatever, but for me the element of retrospectivity is particularly important. It's anathema. And the fact that there isn't agreement between what our officers thought the position was and the proponents were gives us time to sort out exactly what it is. Councillors can still make up their minds on the issues before them, but for me, that was not a question until the proponents spoke tonight, because I believe they were in agreement with that reduction in height. And so, for me, that would be decisive, but I don't think it's appropriate to make that call tonight. It's appropriate to give us time to work through it to see whether there is a compromise that's available. If there's not, then let the votes fall where they will on the grounds that individual councillors decide.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers for the motion?
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy to support this as well. First, I heard that there might be reason to consider VCAT precedent here was verbally at the meeting, so I would like to look at that and make my mind up after that. So I think it's perfectly fine and acceptable, especially given that the applicant supports this course of events, that we do defer it. I note, though, that if we do go back in another direction and reduce less height, other factors need to be properly considered. The full application has a plot ratio of 41:1. If we're looking at the pre-C262 controls when plot ratios for sites weren't in place, you still have matters of bulk and overdevelopment, and you still have the plot ratio guides for the blocks, which are incredibly difficult to assess and police, of course, but other issues do come into play. So we need to get our heads around those three different issues that I mentioned, and so that's why I'm happy to defer it.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. And I might also just speak finally in favour of the motion to make the point that as part of the next time the council considers this matter, that we would obviously want to be mindful of the Planning Minister's decision at 32 Flinders Street and how that bears upon this particular decision. Are there any speakers against the motion? I should have asked that earlier. No? Okay. Well, in that case, I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. I declare the motion carried unanimously. Okay, the next item is agenda item 6.4, Ministerial Referral TPD 2012-19/C for 839 to 865 Collins Street and Collins Landing Docklands. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No? Okay. Well, then I will now call on Michael Barlow on behalf of Lendlease, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Thank you. Lord Mayor, councillors, I wish to speak against the motion and to urge your support for this proposal. If I can go to the next slide, please. The proposal involves the construction of the building is commonly known as Y3 or 839 Collins Street. This is a new office building to complete the campus for the ANZ Corporation down at Docklands. The building at Y3 has been approved and is in fact now under construction. The reason that this bridge is so important is that ANZ took the decision to take all of their accommodation within central Melbourne and bring it to one location, and to then enable its full staff to work conjointly together across the two buildings. ANZ require this bridge to enable them to achieve that optimum efficiency of their workplace that they have brought all these people into this one location for. The link also provides for security and means that when you go into an ANZ, you must go through security. If you leave, you have to go through security again and so forth. Once you're in behind those secure barriers, ANZ staff can move freely between the two buildings. Next slide. It's interesting to note that planning policy for this site enabled Lendlease, who are the developers of the Docklands or the Victoria Harbour Precinct, to look at a range of uses, hotel, offices and so forth. And it wasn't until the ANZ tenancy was secured that we were able to execute this large and very significant addition to the commercial office stock within Melbourne. Until that time, we were seriously looking at a hotel and potentially a small office. So it's been a great coup to bring ANZ into this location, and that was on the basis that we could take that bridge connection between the two. Next slide. I understand the council officers are concerned about the potential impact of the bridge on the open area between the existing ANZ building and the proposed new building in terms of shadowing and in terms of visual scale. The shadowing impact, next slide, is in fact very modest, and it comprises no more than 5% of the overall open area between the two buildings at midday during the September equinox period, which is quite small. It should be said this is not a critical piece of open space within Docklands. It's an open area. Indeed, it is possible that this land may be set aside for a future tram link across to the south side of the Yarra into Docklands. So indeed, the concerns that the council officers have, we say, are overstated, and in fact would prevent this campus office actually being realised. I'm happy to take any questions.
Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Michael. If indeed ANZ's desire was to create a connected campus, which your first slide talked about, then why is this application only coming before us now, long after ANZ is built and while the second building is under construction, as an afterthought?
It's not an afterthought, but you're absolutely right, Lord Mayor. This is a secondary application. We already had approval for Y3 prior to ANZ taking up that office building. What had happened was Lendlease secured that approval 4 years ago and was out in the marketplace looking for a tenant. It had sought many, many tenants. In fact, we were looking at, as I said, a number of other options for this site. ANZ came along, said, we will take it, but we want this bridge link. And we said, yes, we will now undertake this application. It has been slow through the negotiations between ANZ and Lendlease, so it's not slow process.
But it's an after the event.
It is after the event. I accept that. Yeah, it's okay. Not something that we could bring together at the same time. It is after the event, but we're certainly looking for your support nonetheless. Okay.
So, Michael, just to be clear on that point, the Y3 tower next door, which you want to build the sky bridge to connect to, is a 115-metre tower, and that was approved by the council and, I believe, the minister back in 2012, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and did you have ANZ secured as a tenant?
We did not, and as I said, we secured ANZ in the middle of last year, of 2016. But that was after about probably 8 or 9 months of negotiation.
Okay, so that changed then what you plan to do within the building in terms of its function from hotel to office. But
No, we always this was always for an office. We were looking at alternatives when this building could not initially be leased in 2012, 13, 14, 15. When the deal was done with ANZ, ANZ said part of our requirement is that, in fact, we have this bridge link to create the campus And we said, yes, we will now make the application for that bridge link.
And just on the point about the tram line going through, potentially one day through Collins Landing, does the Skybridge interfere with the tram line at all?
No, it would be well above the tram line. It sits about 45 metres into the air, and you'll hear from Mr. Denton a bit about how it sits within that space.
All right. Are there any other questions from councillors for Michael? Councillor Francis Gillies?
Yes, that is a true welcome to council.
Yes,
your AV is faulty.
Very good. You said that you wanted to. One of the reasons is to optimise the workings of ANZ. I mean, it's great that ANZ want to put their campus in Melbourne. It's great that they want to put it all into places. That's phenomenal. But really, in terms of optimising, you've got a 20-storey building and a 11-storey building, yes, and a bridge going between two floors. And actually, you've got to get in the lift. Apart from on those two floors, you'd have to get in the lift. So whether you go to the ground floor or the 11th floor and walk across, you've got to get in the lift. So actually, really, in terms of making it easier, it gives one more floor between the two. So I don't think I think in truth, it doesn't really optimise. It's not like every floor can just walk across. It's one floor. You've got to get in the lift. You might as well go onto the ground floor. Just a point. That's all.
No, you're right. And it is a good point that one of the reasons why the bridge location has been chosen where it has, it's basically midpoint of the new building, so people can come down or go up as opposed to all come to the ground. As I said, for those of you who have experienced the security that we find with many of our commercial enterprises these days, ANZ is probably an exemplar in their security, understandably, and getting out of that security and through that security, even as an employee, is quite time-consuming. Whereas if you're in the office, yes, you get into a lift, you cross, you have saved yourself some considerable time. And I should also add that the floors on both buildings where the bridge link is to be created are proposed to be large staff breakout meeting areas and so forth. So you will often come up to that level, potentially cross across for a meeting, back again and so forth. So it is designed to function as a midpoint within the two buildings.
Any other questions for Michael? No. Okay, thank you very much for
that.
I now call on John Denton on behalf of Lendlease to speak for no more than 3 minutes.
Lord Mayor, councillors, I just want to briefly revisit some of the design ideas behind the proposal. Obviously, it comes out of the desire of the ANZ to have this link. And we looked at it and felt that in looking at it, that it should be up fairly high if we get it up out of the way, out of the pedestrian sort of view of when you're walking around at ground level. It also, if we go to the next slide, it also, one of the reasons that so up high was perhaps a little bit like the Petronas Tower bridge, up out of the way, so it's not part of the pedestrian scale thing. We also then felt it should be something sculptural, so it actually contributed to the city rather than just be a plain sort of bridge link across. And we took our sort of starting point, things like sort of nautical things like the cranes and the pennants, the shipping pennants and so on, because we saw that Collins Street traditionally just came down to Spencer Street, but now crosses over and comes right down to the river and then turns. But at that point where it turns is where this building sits. So we wanted to do something that was actually acted as a terminator to the down that Collins Street axis, something that signalled the end of the axis. Go to the next slide. And so we proposed this. It partly came out of the need that the fact that ANZ's first stage campus was built and we're building the new building, we effectively having to hang the bridge off the new building and go out to touch the existing building rather than support itself heavily on the existing building. So that was the reason for the triangulation, and the idea of the sort of sculptural form of the pennant was that it's basically, in effect, cantilevering out from the new building onto the old building. So we saw it as something that would be a sort of an object visible coming down Collins Street during the day. And the last slide, again, something that was quite a strong, something that was quite strongly visible at night. So we wanted to make it a sculptural outcome that sort of we would hope contributed to the city, to some of the interesting things about the city. Thank you.
Thank you, John. I'll see if there's any questions. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, John. Just a question on the dimensions of the triangle. What are the dimensions of the triangle?
I can't tell you. 47 metres across. Yes, it's 47 metres across. It's 45 metres up out above the ground. And the and it's basically a big enough as a walkway across the link. Yeah, about 3.6 metres.
Are there any other questions for John Denton? No. All right, thank you very much, John.
Okay, look, I will move this motion and I call on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppart.
Look, the City of Melbourne has a long-standing position of opposing sky bridges, and notwithstanding the what I believe is quite an iconic design, so commendation to you, John Denton, for that design, it nonetheless does sort of breach a very long-standing position that the City of Melbourne has had about sky bridges because of what they do to activity at street level and because of issues they create around overshadowing. Councillor Leppart.
Thank you, Chair. I agree, and I also certainly agree that it is an iconic proposal. It's not unattractive. It's very in your face, and that's exactly what it's designed to be, and it's an interesting addition to the city. However, you will see it all the way down Collins Street when you go over Batman's Hill or whatever the equivalent there is over Wurundjeri Way, and it will forevermore set that very clear precedent that air bridges, sky bridges are a part of the fabric of Melbourne. They're not, and I'm very worried about the precedent that this would be setting. There are ways of handling this proposal differently, and because of the precedent reason, more so than any other reason, I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation here, which is to uphold the status quo and uphold our policies about good urban design in Melbourne and what makes Melbourne great, and that is activated ground level and human scale. This is not that.
Thank you, Councillor Leppart. Are there any speakers against the motion? No. Are there any other speakers for the motion? Lord Mayor.
I can scarcely be more reluctant in my support for this motion. There is a different argument from the one that Councillor Leppart presents around precedent, and that is that if we don't like a particular element, and sky bridges have historically been one, then you can simply say we'll reject them all, or you can deal with them on a case-by-case basis. And I don't think that necessarily does set a precedent. I think the Minister probably will approve this. It's a very, very important commercial development. It makes eminent commercial sense to connect the two parts of ANZ. So I think we've got to be careful about where we insert ourselves in this argument. I would certainly want some of the arguments made on page 21 of this report, the dot points that, you know, we sort of are having a bob each way here, so we don't want to approve it. But if the Minister does, we'd like him to consider these things. And I think we've got to be a bit circumspect about our place at the table if we're going to support this, and I will. I do not support dot point one, that the bridge should be redesigned and relocated to reduce shadow and visual impacts. I think the design work that's been done there is outstanding in what it adds, and to have, I don't like the Petronas Tower one, you know, I don't like ours at Council House too. I don't like the one that's the Meyer ones. They're just simple bridges, and this attempts not to be that. So I would set aside dot point one. I think the others are fine because they're around the temporary nature of the bridge, and I do accept the point that Michael made about overshadowing. So while I am reluctantly going to support this, I believe the Minister would approve this because of the importance of the business case that is made. I think the sculptural form is fine. but I would hope that the other elements that the city has raised in dot points 2 and 3 on page 21 of the report would be taken into consideration.
So just to clarify, Lord Mayor, do you want to move an amendment to attachment 4? Okay. Would make the observation, Lord Mayor, and this might give you some comfort, that that specific motion, which I had concerns about as well, because I think it is actually an iconic design, by talking about redesigning, it was actually considering alternative routes for linking the two buildings in ways which may go to minimising the overshadowing issues, which were of a broader concern. Okay, are there any other speakers for the motion? Tessa? Councillor O'Sullivan? No, it's a flashing light. Okay, sorry, Councillor Sullivan, you've got a dodgy AV there. Right. Okay, well, on that note, I think we will now put the motion, which is up on the screen there, to councillors. All those in favour of the motion, raise your hands. Okay, I declare the motion carried unanimously. I now call on the Lord Mayor, Robert Doyle, to resume the role of chair for the remainder of the meeting.
Thank you. This concludes the reports from management to be considered. There is one item of general business, and that's the post-travel report by Councillor Oak to COP13 in Mexico and the ICLEI World Secretariat Strategic Planning Sessions and Board Meetings in Germany in January of 2017. And I now call on Chris Thrum, who asked for the opportunity to address the committee, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, councillors, men and women of Old Melbourne Town. I'm here to acknowledge that Councillor Oak did tremendous work overseas in regards to her travels to Cancun, Mexico, and also to Bonn in Germany. It ties in with the 100 Resilient Cities group that Melbourne's part of, and it helps Melbourne protect its biodiversity by sort of gathering more ideas from citizens and sort of academics from around the world, such as from Sweden. A Stockholm Institute is an important resilient supporter, and Stockholm Resilience is like tremendous with their ideas and how citizens around the world and cities can help protect the biodiversity of different cities around the world. Also too, it's like there are many important conferences around the world, and it's important that Melbourne as an international city have our Lord Mayor, councillors and council officers travel overseas to these important conferences so they can glean the latest information to sort of further advance Melbourne and make Melbourne a better and a brighter city. And that's why I support the Lord Mayor and councillors travelling overseas. For example, like just meeting up with the mayor of Bonn and meeting all the dignitaries at Bonn as her senior position in the ICLEI. So it's true leadership from the city of Melbourne. So I think we should congratulate the city of Melbourne, its approach to protecting the biodiversity of Melbourne, and for reaching out and showing leadership in these conferences.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions for Chris? Thank you very much again, Chris. In that case, I'm happy to move this motion. Is there a seconder for the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor. Let me speak very briefly to it. I'm very proud of the work that Councillor Oak did representing us in the first instance as the City of Melbourne in these fora and doing so most ably. For her senior leadership of ICLEI, which is separate but connected to her council work, which she also furthered, and the number of parallel benefits for the city and ICLEI are obvious. And finally, when you look at Councillor Oak's report, the hard work that she put in those numbers of meetings tells us that she is a woman of remarkable stamina as well as intellect. So I want to thank her for representing us so ably, both in Mexico and in Germany. Deputy Lord Mayor. Any further additions to it? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, we provide a 15-minute period at the end of each meeting for members of the public to ask questions. Would anyone like to ask us a question? In that case, can I thank members of the public, management and staff for their tremendous interest and attendance, and I declare the meeting closed at 6:24 p.m.